Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. In this podcast, we'll explore trends, issues, and events surrounding Lutheran education. In each episode, we'll invite educational experts to shed light on topics that support educators, administrators, and staff. Thank you for listening to LSEM's Lutheran Education Podcast.
Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. I am your host, Rich Schumacher, but today, actually, I'm kind of not going to be the host, which is kind of exciting. Again, as you know, Dr. Tracy Salgado has joined LSEM as our Director of Special Education, and today, she is going to be making her Lutheran Education Podcast hosting debut. Yep, now's the time to clap, absolutely. Tracy, how are you feeling today?
Thanks, Rich. I am feeling good. We're ready to go. And I'm so excited about our guest that we have today. I couldn't have asked for a better first guest for all of this. So thanks for the introduction.
Excellent. And again, speaking of that guest, we are very pleased to invite to the podcast today, Karen Freeland. Karen, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. And so with that, I am going to step back and let Tracy and Karen begin their conversation. So Tracy, take it away.
Thanks, Rich. Hi, Karen. It's so good to see you again. How are you doing?
It's January. It's 2024. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be a little bit later. But yeah, you know, it's just been an exciting time to bring our dreams to fruition and live our God-given purpose.
That's right. I love it. Thank you. You know, and that's exactly why I have you. I wanted to talk with you and to bring you to our listeners, because it is January and it's the start of a new year, and it can be kind of tough. As you know, Karen, we provide special education services to schools, to Lutheran Christian schools all over the country. And most of our schools, you may not know this part, but most of our schools are in the Midwest, the upper Midwest, where January is not such a fun time. And I thought this would be great. You are so full of energy and positivity and excellent ideas on creating your best self and being the best version of you. And I just thought it would be a great time to bring you to our teachers and to our listeners and share some of that during these kind of darker, cold months, and maybe a little ray of sunshine for them.
Well, so thank you. That is such an honor. And I will say, I was not always this ray of sunshine. There was a period in my life where I was not living my purpose. And that started to become acutely aware for me. And I was not a ray of sunshine. I was pretty bitter. I was angry a lot of the time. I wasn't the best wife or the best mom. And, you know, it's so great. I think I'm a testimonial to the fact that, you know, no matter where your life is today, you can turn it around. You can take back control and help yourself get to a state where you're really enjoying every single day and being more present in your life.
Well, that said, tell us about yourself. Give us give us a bit about you.
Sure. So I'm Karen Freeland. I call myself a recovered corporate workaholic. I spent 15 years chasing paychecks and titles, trying to climb the corporate ladder, as it were, only to wake up one day and realize I was miserable and I didn't actually like my life. I mean, the world promises us so many things. Get a job, get benefits, buy fancy things, get the Benz, have the nice house, all that, that'll make you happy. And yet I had a lot of that stuff and I wasn't happy. You know, I wasn't putting God first always. I wasn't always doing the self-care and really listening to my inner voice. I was drowning a lot of that out. And so after having two deaths in the family, it really spurred me to figure out, what is my purpose and what do I want to do with this short time that I have here on earth? And through a lot of self-discovery, I realized that I wanted to write some books and I wanted to be able to help other women specifically. That's usually who I work with through my coaching practice, and help them figure out what their purpose is so they can go live a meaningful life that brings them joy and has an impact on the world.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you found your purpose, because you're impacting so many other people, and it's great. I know you've made a huge impact in my life. And I wanted to bring that to our teachers, you know, and you were talking about how so many of us are just kind of living vertically. We're looking for that peace and those answers in our world around us. And we're not living horizontally. We're not living for Christ and listening to him and hearing his words in our heart and in our souls. And you found that. You found that, and you've made a huge change, and now you're impacting other people. So let's talk about how, you know, our teachers are so fantastic with our kids. I've had the honor of being able to visit some of our schools in Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan, and I've seen, oh my gosh, incredible things happening in our classrooms. And it's gets hard this time of year as a teacher, and I don't know about corporate anything. I've always been in education. So this time of year is tough. And, you know, our teachers are always looking to live vertically. They're always looking for God. They're always bringing it in their classrooms because we can do that in our Christian environment. And so how, you know, what advice would you have? What would you say to teachers at this time about, you know, hearing God talk to them and being their best version, so they can be their best version for the students, and the students can go off and do, you know, that ripple effect kind of
thing. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're all in different places in our career, right? So you might be a new teacher and you're just out of school and you're really excited and engaged. You know, that purpose for you is right there at the forefront of your life. But for a lot of teachers who have maybe been doing this for a long time, you might find yourself going through the motions. Like, yes, you're living vertically. Yes, you're listening out for God, but it's almost like you're doing it on autopilot. And so what I like to always start with a lot of my clients is by going back to your why. Why did you start this to begin with? Why did you go into education? Why are you in Lutheran education specifically? You know, what about that lights you up? And when we just pause to take a few minutes to really ground ourselves and center ourselves in that why, we find that we get rejuvenated. We get excited about our passion again. And most of us, we're busy. We have a million things going on at home, at work, and we don't take that time to pause and to really, you know, walk the walk. We might be sitting in our classes talking about Christ, but are we going home and having a prayerful life? Or are we kind of letting that stuff slide? And there's no judgment here, right? We're all human. These things happen. But sometimes, you know, you just need that little reminder to go right back to square one, go back to the basics, and that can really help reinvigorate you.
I can see some of our teachers, the ones that I've met, I can see some of them sitting in their classroom during that quiet time, maybe after all of the kids have gone home and the school, the hallways are quiet. I can see some of them like kicking back with their favorite snack or a Coke or something, just going, okay, why am I doing this? And then I can see some of our teachers on a Saturday next in their comfy couch or their comfy chair next to their window, and the snow is, you know, slowly coming down with a coffee or hot chocolate, saying, why am I going to work on Monday again? What, how is that going to look? What am I going to do? You know, I can see that. And I think that's great, that a good reminder, like the why am I doing this? And what is calling me to do this? So, you know, thinking about all of that, you know, one of your big things is always being our best version. So how, if someone is struggling with the why and how they can be their best, how do you find that if it's really lost? If you've been that teacher for 27 years and you're like, you know, I just don't know if I can do this anymore, but man, the kids need me and I still really want to go, but at the same time, I think I'm done. You know, kind of that gray area. How do you get over that hump? What do you do?
Yeah. And, you know, I wish there were one thing that I could tell you and everybody could go implement it and it would get you over the hump. But really, everybody is different, right? Different things make different people tick or will click in someone that somebody else hears it and goes, okay, I don't know about that, right? Like, I, you know, mindset. Sometimes people be like, oh, okay, yeah, tell me to have a growth mindset. Okay. So it's going to be different for everybody. But, you know, one of the things that I would encourage people to do again is go back to your values. What do you really value in life? And is everything that you're doing at your school and in your work lining up to those values? And if for some reason it's not, how can you bring that back into alignment? And most people, you know, we all intuitively, we know our values, right? They're in there, but you'd be surprised how many people have a hard time articulating, these are the things I value. You know, I value freedom and flexibility. Well, you've got summers off as a teacher. So maybe that's, again, bringing you back to your why. You wanted that freedom and flexibility. And, oh, that's right. Okay, a little gratitude for this amazing career that gives me that flexibility, or to be home with the kids, or whatever that is. So just giving yourself space to do that is helpful. And look, we get drained sometimes, you know, when you've been doing something for so long, sometimes we have to reinvigorate ourselves. And that might be tapping into your creativity, both in the classroom or outside of the classroom. So are there things, maybe you want to get into a painting class or do some self-care? And let me give you a little bit more on self-care, because I know we always hear the mani, the pedi, okay? And this is, that's all great, okay? But that's what I call surface level self-care, right? That's just glazing the surface. But what I'm talking about is that deeper self-care, that soul care. What do you really need to fill your cup and to feed your soul? And again, that's going to look different for everybody. But I think if you can find ways to invigorate that creativity, you could go back to your values and get things back in alignment in case anything's gotten out of whack, and give yourself that care that you really need. Maybe that's taking some vacation time, you know, whatever that is, that's going to help you get over the hump, especially in these doldrums of winter.
You know, I love how you say to make a list, or not to make a list, but to think about your values, to go back to your values. And, you know, just to quick share, I did that. Like Rich said, I'm new in this role as director of special education. And before I found this role, I went back, I sat through what values do I have that would fit with a role. I just threw my pen by accident. sorry about that. What values do I have that would match a role that is important to me? And I actually wrote it all down, and I'd have almost 2 pages of values, of things I was looking for in the next role I was going to have. And some people might call that manifesting, you know, the spirit, dare to dream. If you think about it, it will come. Well, you know what? I've been thinking about $1 million for about 30 years now, and it's not here. So, you know, I'm not sure I believe the whole manifesting thing, but I do believe in focus and really thinking about those values, what's important, and how to translate that, you know, to align that with, like you said, those different parts of your life. And, you know, it's incredible. I found this role and I can check off about 99% of those boxes, those lines that I wrote that were important to me in my next role. And so, that doing that is so huge. And so I would love for our teachers, when they're feeling this really hard time, there's no break coming up until, I think, gosh, is it Easter, like April? I don't even know a lot of our schools. Sure, they have off for President's Day and something else, but one day is nothing, you know? And then the kids get squirrely too, and it's hard. And so you're squirrely and they're squirrely. And so when you go back to your values, you're like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I think that's such a great idea. And to tangibly write it down, you know, all that brain science that writing can really connect your soul to what is going on in your brain. So I love that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm so glad you brought up this manifesting topic, right? Because I think in the coaching world, you know, that is really big. People love to throw around this term manifesting. But the way I like to think of it is that you are really making it very clear to God what it is that you want, right? And if we ask it in His name, we will receive it. And I just think when you take that time to really map out, you know, you don't just say, I want a new job, or I want my job to get better. It's like, okay, how do you want it to get better? What do you want that job to look like? Then you're being so much more clear, right? If I just said, okay, God, I want a new job, He could be like, well, they need garbage disposal workers. Well, that's not what I want to do. Well, you said you wanted a new job. Here's your opportunity. But no, if you're like, hey, I want a job in special education that has Christian values, right? And you start to map all that out, then God's like, okay, now I know what you're looking for. And if it fits with His will, it's going to fall in your lap, right? He's going to make all that work out for you.
Absolutely. A friend of mine, she had told me about a book she was reading. I think it's called Pray Big, or Pray for the Mountain, or something like that. I can't remember what it was called, but the whole book was about, you know, God, of course, has our plan for us, right? He knows every hair on our head, and he knows everything about us since the day he created us, or he thought about even creating us. And we don't know what that plan is. But in the book, and like you're saying, the bigger we pray, the bigger we talk to God, the more details, the more like we get in line with God, like he starts talking back to us. Like, okay, you may think you want to work in garbage collection, and that's a noble job. Don't get me wrong. People, yes, we need that in our society. But for you, Becky, that's maybe not the thing I have for you. I need you to think deeper. I need you to think larger. I need you to think wider. Let's talk about this. And, you know, so that manifesting, is it praying? Is it talking, you know, having a conversation? Is it opening your heart, your mind to hearing the Holy Spirit and really accepting that, oof, I thought I wanted that, but that's not working out for me. So it's over here. I think I need to go over in that direction. You know, that thing. So,
yeah. And God may be showing you through this season of challenges or through some of the doldrums, right? That may be part of the way that he reawakens your spirit and re-engages you in your work and recommits you to your purpose. So it's really easy for us to be in a rut or in a period of, you know, depression, but sometimes that's actually like, I'm grateful now that I went through my midlife crisis at 39. I know that sounds crazy to some people and they always laugh at me when I say that, but I have no other way to explain the feelings and emotions that I was going through other than a midlife crisis. And I'm so glad it happened because that was the catalyst for change and for this reinvention in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. God has a sense of humor. And sometimes I think he needs to he like trips us and like, look at you. Now you're going to think, aren't you? You know, right. Sort of thing like that. Yeah. And the soul care. I love that you said soul care. You know, just to really be connected with the things that are important to us, not those outside things. So I love that. You know, Rich, I was just listening the other day to the podcast with, is it Ted Knightsky? Yes. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yep. And he's, season six.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really good one, by the way. I love all the positive things he had to say. And what I really focused on was the mentoring part of it and how silly schools have it sometimes where they just plop a mentor with another teacher. And instead, what they should do is find that person who you connect with to make that difference. And I think that's a big thing too, is connecting. And you talk about this sometimes, you know, Karen, you're trying to connect women like-minded and get us talking and get us to see the value in each other and how we might use those values or those things in our lives and how we can improve. And, you know, I think, you know, Ted hit it on the head and Karen, I think you're hitting it on the head. Can you talk a little bit about our teachers finding that person maybe in their building or, you know, somewhere in the education field that they can connect with and how that works and how that builds up each other?
Yeah. Like, I mean, we all need a mentor, right? Nobody gets to the top or gets to their full purpose alone. We all need help and we need support. And, you know, that's really critical too, when you are in that rut or you're, you know, working through challenges, is to check your circle. Like, look at who you are surrounding yourself with. And if you've got a lot of people who have been in the field for a long time and who are maybe jaded or are negative, you know, you need to look at that and understand the level of influence that that is having. Even if you're not conscious of it, subconsciously, that is impacting you. So if you want to get a mentor or someone to help support you in your career and in re-engaging you in it, you know, you want to make sure it's somebody who has a positive mindset and who is hopeful and is a problem solver. And they may go, yeah, I acknowledge that challenge. Let's figure out a way to solve it, right? They have what we call a growth mindset. So they see opportunities and challenges as ways to learn and to grow and not as something, you know, that's blocking them or preventing them from succeeding. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing, like really key to understand the mentor's mindset before you buddy up with them.
Yeah.
And if I may jump in too, one of the interesting things about the whole mentoring process, and again, what we had spoken with Ted Knightsky about, As again, there's a format in place that's designed to check the boxes. And when you go through all the different contracts of, well, this teacher hasn't had a mentor or mentee, so they have to be the next one, or this person is in this department. So you've got these rules that regulate it, but then you end up getting two people who just see the world differently and have different ideas and values, and there's just not a connection there. So it really seems that having something formal, while easier, while helpful in terms of, you know, setting it up, doesn't necessarily mesh. So what advice would you give to principals and educational leaders who are trying to make those connections between teachers to find organic ways for it to happen without making it forced or some sort of an obligation?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And actually, I was going to take it in a different direction and say, we as professionals have to stop relying on the organizations that we work for and the schools that we work for to facilitate this stuff for us. No one is stopping you from going on LinkedIn, finding an educator that you admire, and reaching out to them for mentorship. No one is stopping you from walking down the hall and sitting in the teacher's lounge and saying, hey, so-and-so, I really love the way you've navigated this or that, or I love your tech savviness in the classroom. Could you mentor me? And so, like, let's stop putting the onus on other people to help us with our personal and professional development and take that power back, because you don't need to ask for permission.
Yeah. It goes back to that list of values, right? It goes back to what's important to me. And I found that other person who's got that almost that same list, and I can connect with them and I can feel good about X, Y, and Z, and I can really grow that way. So that's great.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, with principals and things, if they're not, having them fill out some sort of form, it's kind of like a match.com, right? Or eHarmony or something, where you've got this like dating profile for mentors and mentees. And you say, okay, these are kind of how I see the world. These are my values. These are the things I'm looking to grow in. And then they can match them up. I mean, we need these systems in place because they do ensure that there is some mentorship. I think that's great. But a lot of times with these set systems and the formalities, we do end up with some of these challenges, people not being paired up, and then people get turned off to mentorship. And they think, well, if this is what it's going to be like, I don't want a mentor. And so, we don't have to always rely on the system.
Well, and again, a lot of the new teachers coming into education just had a student teaching process where they didn't choose their cooperating teacher. They were assigned one. And if that cooperating teacher was dynamic and outgoing and all those different energies, great. And if they weren't, great. Because unlike, to use your analogy there, student teachers can't swipe left. You have to work with the person that you were assigned with. And when you get into the mentoring setup or into schools, when you're trying to build those relationships, the same is true. Again, I was taught this and I taught this as well. The teacher's lounge, one of the most negative places in the building. Stay out of the teacher's lounge. And when I was student teaching, I experienced just some of that negativity, in that place. So it's definitely hard to avoid it. But again, I think it's great advice to say, look outside of that. And again, even within your own building, if you find somebody that you mesh with better, connect with them. And again, I think especially for younger teachers, ask questions that seek understanding. Don't walk in thinking, hey, I just walked out of college and I know more about education than all y'all because I just had all these classes. That's not going to get it done. And conversely, as a experienced veteran teacher, don't discount what the new teachers are bringing because they are more in touch with what's current than you are because, frankly, maybe you've been too busy to keep up. So there's benefits to be learned there, but the open mind and the willingness to hear as opposed to speak, probably the better way to go with that.
Yeah, I always encourage my clients to have a diversity of mentors, right? Someone who's more seasoned than you, someone who can reverse mentor you, maybe who's younger, that can bring you up to speed on those things. And you know, I coach a lot of women and they all want to be mentored by other women. And I'm like, that's great. But don't forget about the men. You want to have that other viewpoint in your world. And so, you know, I have a lot of mentors that are males and it's actually served me really well. So make sure that you've got that diversity of thought, diversity of age, diversity of gender, all those things in your mentorship circle. It is only going to strengthen you.
Which isn't all that easy if you're a male in education, because the percentages, especially on the elementary side of things, very skewed toward women. But again, you know, excellent points in that respect. So I'm gonna jump in and say we're gonna take our break here, but we will be back momentarily. Continue the conversation with Karen Freeland, Dr. Tracy Salgado, here on the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Lutheran Special Education Ministries is an organization committed to serving schools, churches, and families to advance the success of children who have learning needs. Our commitment to this mission began with the opening of the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit. Over the years, our ministry has expanded, and today LSEM is proud to serve in Lutheran schools across the country. But as our ministry has grown, our commitment to helping students succeed academically in an environment where they can also grow spiritually is as strong as ever. So if your church or school is looking for professional development for your faculty, information to share with struggling families, or for a ministry partner to support an existing resource room or start a new one, LSEM is ready to help you meet your specialized learning goals. For more information about how LSEM can help you build brighter futures for your students, please contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. That's www.luthsped.org.
Welcome back to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. We're here today with Karen Freeland of Karen Freeland Coaching and Consulting. And then we're also here with Rich Schumacher, Director of Programs and Services at Lutheran Special Education Ministries. Karen, we were talking the first half about, you know, focusing on what's important to us and values and really rejuvenating ourselves with that and finding our soul and what makes us get up and go every single morning. And, you know, kind of along those lines, we were talking about boundaries within that. So boundaries are huge for everybody. That's kind of a buzzword these days, is making sure we are taking care of ourselves by setting those boundaries and knowing when it's okay to step across and when to stay on the other side of them. It's a tough thing for educators in general, but also us Lutherans who always want to say yes to everybody. We have a hard time saying no. So how do we deal with those, you know, putting those boundaries where working in the school and then attending that same church and we seeing our families and our kids, it's not like bumping into somebody at the grocery store where we all have something, you know, I've got to get over to aisle 9 real quick. You know, how do you do that when you're in the same place 6 days a week?
Yeah, I know you've got to combat that Lutheran guilt, right? So just really keeping that in check. And, you know, it's admirable to want to do all the things and to want to help everybody and be supportive for them. But we also have to look at how that's impacting us. Is it depleting our cup? Is it impacting my time with my family, my time to worship? So we'll take the example that we were chatting about over the break. You know, you're going to Sunday church where you teach, and all of a sudden a parent comes up to you and says, "Hey, Billy forgot his book. It's in the classroom. Can you just let me in for 5 minutes? Or, oh, hey, he brought up this issue and I'd really love to talk to you." Well, you have to make a decision. And I always say it's kind of like training people. You get what you tolerate. And so if you don't tolerate, or if you don't train people up front that you're not going to tolerate this stuff outside of the classroom, then guess what? That's what you're going to get. Right. And I don't mean to be so direct or give you too much tough love here, but it really is that simple. And I think when I really started it for my own life, when I started to embrace this whole concept of you get what you tolerate, I was like, oh, wow. It's also very empowering, because now I get to decide what I will tolerate and what I will not tolerate. And so start small. When you are setting a new boundary, right? If you have always stayed after class for an hour to help students on your own time, and you're coaching with me, I'm not going to tell you starting Monday, you never stay an hour after class, because you know what? That's going to feel really, really hard. We're going to start small. I'm going to say, pick 2 days a week that you're no longer going to stay after to answer questions or to do extra work. Great. Tuesdays and Fridays. Super. Let's hold you accountable for that. We're going to try it for a few weeks, see how it goes. And then we're going to back down some more, because we want to set you up for success. And so when you're setting new boundaries, take them small, but you can just simply let someone know and they will respect you. By the way, that's what I really find fascinating. We often don't set boundaries because we're afraid we're going to hurt somebody else's feelings. But when you value your time and your space, other people will value it too. So that parent comes up to you and say, you know what? That's okay. We'll get him his book on Monday morning first thing. No problem. Thanks for letting me know. You know, I'm not able to get in there right now. I'm here with my family. Or you know what? I would love to chat with you about this. I've got some time on Tuesday and Thursday. What day works better for you? So you're still being supportive and caring, but you're also doing it within the confines of your own well-being and boundaries.
I love that idea of, you're not saying no, you're just saying, I will do it at this time. It's a soft boundary, and it's not that blunt, excuse me, do you know what time it is? Like, I need to get to lunch. And you know, it's right. Awesome to say, oh gosh, yeah, that was a situation. And let's talk about it on this time. I love that. And it can be used in so many positive ways. You know, administrators too, when teachers come knocking on their door, administrators have to set those boundaries as well. And
yes,
constantly getting people knocking on your door, just talk to you for a brief minute. Brief minutes never happen, ever. You know, next half an hour later, you're like, hello, can I go now? So administrators can do the same thing. I would love to talk to you for a brief minute, but I've got to get going to this thing. So let's talk at 3 o'clock today or something, you know, just that kind of that soft redirection. That's such a great idea.
Well, awesome. And it's amazing too. We think that by being available all the time, 24/7, that we are doing people a service. And actually the opposite is true, because we teach people not to rely on their own devices, their own resources, their own confidence. And we basically teach them that, hey, we'll figure everything out for you. And so what I love is, by being able to set those boundaries and not be available 24/7, you're enabling your peers and the other educators in your institution to start relying on themselves.
Oh my gosh, that is so huge. So a lot of our teachers have come from public schools, and in public schools, we are ingrained. It is just beat on us. You will do what we say, when we say, how we say, all that stuff. And public school teachers really struggle outside of those parameters. I've seen teachers, and I myself too, even in our own personal lives, well, I don't know if I can do that. You know, you kind of grow up in that environment of having someone in authority telling you what you can and can't do and when you should do it. And that really permeates in a lot of aspects of life. But at Lutheran Special Education Ministries, our teachers have come out of that public school, and now they're in a Christian school setting where there seems to be so much more freedom. We don't have the parameters of all of the legalities. I mean, there's still legalities, but not as many, right? Especially special education, when there's IEPs and 504s and all of the federal laws and all that stuff. Our teachers have so much more wiggle room, but they lack the confidence to go ahead and do that. They have all the ideas, they have all the ability, but they don't have the confidence. And I think that's a really big thing, is to say, to start working on those soft boundaries, where let me talk to you in you know, Tuesday, like you said, or the administrator saying, I will get to you in a half an hour, whatever, and really starting to grow that confidence. That's so huge.
Yeah, there's a lot of conditioning that we need to rewire for these teachers and for these educators, because they have been told that this is the way it is. This is the way that we work. And all of a sudden you're in a different environment. And so it's freeing, but at the same time, it's almost scary because it's like, whoa, what do you mean I don't have guardrails? What do you mean I don't have to do it this way? And it's very similar to the setting boundaries. Start small. Pick a project that you're really excited about that you'd love to bring into your classroom. Maybe it'd go back to that idea of sparking your creativity. What could that look like? And just try it out and see how it goes because you've got that freedom.
Yeah.
One of the things that also lends itself in this is, again, when we do this, we're modeling Christ. Because again, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus wasn't going 24/7, 365 over the course of his ministry. He was oftentimes taking time for himself to pray, taking time to, again, hop in a boat and sail across the lake or the sea, because then he could be away from the crowds. Yes, the crowd was running around the shores to greet him on the other side, but those minutes going across, you know, the times when he would wander up onto a mountain or into the, he took time to rejuvenate, to rebuild and refresh himself, which is really important. And he did so at times when his ministry was difficult, when he was struggling with lots of different challenges and different things. And again, to kind of go back to what Tracy was saying earlier in the conversation, you know, right now, this is the dregs of the school year. Again, you know, the couple of days off here and there, or if you're blessed with snow like we have up here in the upper Midwest, then, you know, you might get a day or two off for weather. But by and large, everyone's tired of being cooped up. Everyone's battling whatever bugs floating around here or there. Schedules are tight. Vacation is not coming anytime soon. And again, now we're gearing up for, hey, re-enroll for next year. I mean, there's so many pressures.
Yeah.
Now is the perfect time. And again, it's not selfish. It's actually Christ-like to take a little bit of time for yourself.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. I'm doing a study right now on the book of Mark. So, or, you know, the Gospel of Mark. And one of the verses we just got done reflecting on was this whole idea of him waking up early and going to a lonely place. And he really was taking that time for himself to be in prayer and to rejuvenate him. So, yeah, self-care is not selfish. It's self-loving.
Yeah.
And Christ-like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, Rich, you were saying those snow days. I think that's why teachers and administrators love those snow days so much, because they can get back to themselves for a minute and be like, okay, what am I going to do to take care of myself? What boundaries am I going to set? What values are important to me? Snow day, my value today, sitting on the couch, flicking through Netflix. End of story, you know?
But and see, this is interesting because I'm like, okay, you have a snow day. This is amazing. Like, this is your chance to sit down and go, what are my goals? How could I advance them? How can I continue to pour into my cup and help my personal or professional development? So I know it's really tempting sometimes to take that break, and we almost take it to like the nth degree where we're like, all right, now I'm not doing anything. But that doesn't actually serve us either, because we've gone too far to the extreme. So that's just a little challenge there. I mean, I'm good with like a couple of hours of Netflix if you want to just veg out. We all need that. But what I see a lot of times for my clients is this endless scrolling on TikTok or was sitting and binge watching shows all weekend. And then they come to me and go, well, I really wanted to do X, Y, or Z, but I don't have time for my goals. I'm like, no. You have time. You're just not prioritizing that, right? We're going too far in the relax phase.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got to shut down completely for an entire day, there's a lot going on, and you should probably do some, you know, some self-reflection on why you needed to shut down for a whole entire day. But but likewise, some teachers do use that snow day to be like, all right, I'm going to get my lesson plans done for next week, and I'm going to correct my papers, and I'm going to start looking at, you know, whatever. So some teachers do that, and it's great to have that just that moment to reset. It's nice to have that. Anything else that you want to talk about, Karen? We're in our last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, I guess I would just impart on people to make sure that they're taking time to actively set those goals. You know, if we don't have a plan, how do we know where we're going? So not just those professional goals, but also your personal goals. And I'm really big in the power of threes. So it's always really great to set three personal goals and three professional goals and have those segmented so that you can think about, okay, what do I want to do in my teaching career or my administrative career? And what do I want to do in my personal life? What are some of those goals? Do I have a passion for something? Do I want to volunteer or give back in some other capacity? And those things, you know, that you do personally can often spill over. That joy and that, you know, fullness that you experience can spill over into your career and give you joy from other areas as well. So it really helps you become this well-rounded, full, whole human.
I have a question for you about the goals. You said, you know, what are my goals? And you said the power of three. And it made me think of the power of three whys. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So when you think of anything, and so in this particular instance, you said the goal. So my professional goal is this. And then the power of three whys is, why do I want that goal? Why do I want that? And you go down three times. Why? To really strengthen that goal or to strengthen that statement or whatever you're doing. And it can go so much further when you, because you were talking about the values and what's important and really listening to your soul. And those three whys can help you really define that and hone in on it a little bit more. So I like your idea of goals. And then why do I have that goal?
Yeah. Oh, I think that's a really great exercise. And I would encourage everybody to take out a piece of paper right after this podcast and start jotting down what you think your goals are and then ask yourself the three whys. You know, it's really great to listen to podcasts. We get amazing information, but we got to take it the extra step. We have to do the action. We have to implement what we learn if we want to experience change and transformation in our lives. So that's my challenge to everybody today. If you're willing to accept it, get out that piece of paper, craft your goals, and really ask yourself those questions about why is that so important to you?
Love it. Love it. All right. This last part, it's called, and I'm stealing this from another podcast. So I'm a big podcast nerd. I have a million of them. I love to listen to them all the time. So I'm stealing this from another podcast. It's not my idea, but I love it. It's called The Lightning Round. Ooh. So Karen, I am just going to fire questions at you. No time to think. First thing that comes to your mind, answer the question. You can be as brief as you want or go into detail. You choose what you want to do. All right. Okay. We'll start easy with what's your favorite color?
Black.
All right. Good deal.
It's like the only color I wear. I don't know. It's slimming and I like it.
I'm the same way. My favorite color is black too. My mom's always like, are you depressed? Like, no, I like black. It's easy to buy. It doesn't get dirty. All that stuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Sitting on your office desk right now. What's the most important thing on your office desk right now?
Oh, the picture of my boys. For sure. I have two boys, 13 and 14 now, 7th and 8th grade, and they are my world. So they're definitely prioritizing them in this season of life.
Well, that's awesome. Yes. All right. Next question. It's your last meal. What are you eating?
New York pizza.
Thick crust or thin crust?
Thin crust. Yes. Absolutely. With extra hot sauce and Parmesan cheese on it.
Nice.
Now I'm hungry.
Right?
Yes.
You're sitting down and you're going through your values. You're reevaluating. Where are you sitting?
In my bedroom. I like to journal before bed.
Okay. Do you have like a spiral notebook journal or do you use like one of those fancy bound ones?
I have a fancy bound one and it has all these amazing sayings on the outside, like, you know, confidence and you are powerful. You can do it. Just really motivating. And I bought it right after I got laid off from my corporate job in 2020. And I was like, this is the book for my new life. And I just have been using it to journal ever since.
Okay. Last lightning question. What's your favorite saying or mantra or scripture? What's your thing that always goes through your head when times get tough or happy or whatever?
I am who God says I am.
I like it.
Yeah. That is really my grounding statement, you know, whenever, I mean, look, we're all human. So whenever I look at somebody else who I think has a better business than I do, or, you know, I see somebody else with something fancy or what, you know, those little pings of jealousy that sometimes pick up, or, you know, I feel like somebody has wronged me. I just always remind myself, I go back to that. Look, doesn't matter. None of that, you know, just I am who God says I am.
Interesting. That's the second time in 2 days I've heard that phrase.
Oh, you needed to hear that too for some reason. I don't know why, okay. But
I like that though. That's awesome. And that says so much. And that actually like really kind of actually that's a good way to sum up what we've been talking about. I mean, God says who we are, and we are teachers. We're teachers in Christian classrooms, and we are impacting the lives and bringing Christ to children, all the children that we're working with throughout our 10 years teachers, not only the year, but all the years culminating. And I love what we talked about. Thank you so much for all of it. The focus and making a list of what's important to us, and that self-care, setting those boundaries, and having those goals, you know, to work with and make us better teachers and servants and people all around. So thank you so much for all of that. Appreciate it.
Are so welcome. And if you take nothing else away from this podcast, I hope that everyone knows that you matter and what you do matters. Thank you for waking up every day and pouring into these kids and demonstrating what Christ means for us, for our life. I mean, we are so blessed in the world, you know, to have people who are willing to do this work every single day. So please keep going. You've got this. Thank you for your work, and you matter.
Was awesome.
Karen, if anybody listening wanted to connect to learn more about you and the work that you do, you've written some books, wanted to pick those up, whatever, how would they find you online? How would they go about making that connection?
Absolutely. You can go to KarenFreeland.com. It's KarenFreeland.com. And my book is called Grab Life by the Dreams. And it really shares my story, how I got unstuck, how I built my confidence back up and was able to go after what really matters. If you check out Grab Life by the Dreams, you'll learn my signature Edit Your Life method, which is a 4-step process to help you do that goal setting that we just talked about. So KarenFreeland.com. And of course, you're welcome to reach out to me on any of my social platforms and connect. I'd love to hear from listeners.
Excellent. Karen, thank you so very much for the time today. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and hopefully the conversation was able to spark some confidence and ideas that will help to bring some of our teachers maybe away from some of that Sunday night dread and allow them to continue to, again, serve and serve well in their churches and schools. And Tracy, you made it through the first one. How you feeling right now?
Feeling pretty good.
All right. For those of you listening, Tracy was very nervous about starting out on the front side of this today, but did a remarkable job, as I knew she would. And so thank you so very much for that. So ladies, again, thank you for allowing us to all kind of sit in and listen to some of the questions and answers. And thank you again for the work that you do.
Thank you. It's great to be
here. Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it, everything. Thank you so much.
And for those of you listening, again, thank you for the work that you're doing in your school, serving your children, and continue to be a blessing to those. And as we continue to serve you here, we look forward to bringing you more topics as we go through the rest of the school year. Thank you again for your time and for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. For more information on this episode's topic or any other questions regarding Lutheran education or Lutheran Special Education Ministries, please feel free to contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I praise you, Lord. Your works are wonderful.